I have
current geek.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Current Geek, the proceedings of the meetings of the Frog Pants All-Stars, geeks of the world and you, to keep you current on all things that matter most. I'm Scott Johnson, he's Tom Merritt.
Limber up, folks, we got some current geeky things to discuss as we do every fortnight, right here on Current Geek.
Oh, it is every fortnight, isn't it? Is that how that works? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Tuesday is the big Tuesday, get up.
Yeah, so put up your forts, and that's what fortnight is, right?
Fortnite is now, well, actually, Fortnite is now 100 people jump in and only one leaves, but that's a video game. Tom and I are here. We're actually also in Vegas this weekend. If any of you are the ones who either got tickets for the meetup or are going to be otherwise sort of just there, make sure you come say hi.
I've made a horrible mistake, Scott.
What's that?
You told me, and this is not, I'm not pointing a finger at you. You told me like, yeah, the event is on Saturday.
Yeah.
Some of us are getting in on Thursday.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, I can do my show from home on Friday, be there Friday night, not miss most of it. All the fun stuff's happening like Friday during the day.
Well, I wouldn't say all the fun stuff. Like, there's a little...
Well, because the event on Saturday is going to show off the things that you do. It's like the prep work is being done on Friday.
Correct. There's that Millennium Bar, Star Wars theme bar thing we're going to. On Friday, there's also this, there's an axe chucking thing we're doing on Thursday.
Well, the axe chucking, I might be able to get in on. I'm hoping I can make that.
All right. Well, one way or the other, seeing you there will be enough for me to feel real good about everything in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing you all there. And even now, I'm looking forward to these headlines.
I have
wrong one. I got so excited.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
All right, Tom, not so much headlines as they are nerdy facts you might enjoy.
When you've been doing this as long as I have, Scott, there are certain things that you read that make you say, huh, am I going to have to revise the history book I wrote?
Uh-oh.
And this is one of them. Twin Galaxies has stripped Billy Mitchell's Donkey Kong high score from its leaderboards, banned him from all of their leaderboards, and notified the Guinness Book of World Records. Twin Galaxies conducted an investigation and found that Mitchell's Donkey Kong score, as well as two other scores they recorded by him, did not come on actual arcade hardware. The reason that's a big deal is if you're doing emulation, people say, well, first of all, it's not apples to apples. And second of all, maybe there's some code weirdness can go on in emulation that gives you an advantage. So you're supposed to do it on actual arcade hardware. They found out he didn't. So Steve, I don't know how to properly pronounce Steve's last name because I've never heard it said out loud. Weeby?
I don't think Weeby's in second anymore. I think it's now...
he's now the acknowledged Donkey Kong high score holder.
Is he now?
According to this Engadget article.
All right. I thought somebody else had beat it since then, but maybe I had
that wrong. Well, since this happened last week, I have not double-checked to see if anybody passed Steve.
Entirely possible. I mean, the way this thing panned out is pretty crazy. There was a classic gaming event last week that Billy Mitchell was at. He was there as a, I don't know if he was on his own or if somebody had paid him to be there.
You know what? Here, yeah. I think this is the confusion. It's not highest score. It's first million point record holder.
Oh, gotcha. That's different.
Because I think other people did million points later.
Yeah.
But Steve now is acknowledged as the first million point scorer, even though others did it later because Billy's million points are invalid.
Who knew the documentary King of Kong, that its ending would take this long to come out? Because basically that's what this is a proper ending to that film. Billy Mitchell, or Bitchy Miller, as I almost called him, but I really meant Billy Mitchell.
Well, some people would say that's too far off.
He was at a classic gaming conference last week and was defending his honor out loud and
of
saying,
course, as you would expect.
Sure. He says he's going to gather all the evidence and show it and full disclosure and everybody can see what he played on and all that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, this is a little he said, she said, but Twin Galaxies said that part of the problem was that Mitchell didn't cooperate with them.
Yeah.
So they say they gave him an opportunity to provide evidence and he didn't.
Right.
Now he's going to collect the evidence.
Yeah, I think that's fishy as crap. So if I were him, I would have cooperated or made this all a cooperation with Twin Galaxies. They are the authority in this particular case. And I don't even actually think he cheated with the emulation, except that he used emulation. That seems to be undisputed. Everybody who's looked at the footage, compared it to actual code, they are like, nah, what he did is not from the ROM, from the board, from the original Donkey Kong. This is emulated. Now, some have said, well, that means he's cheated beyond that and done stuff to make him have a better score. And I would say, not necessarily. Yeah. He may have just done what seemed like a convenient way to attack the score again and not have to worry about investing in a machine that could die or a board that could overheat. All these problems exist in high score, the wicked world of high score arcade playing. So I don't even think he tried to do anything wrong. The problem, the wrong part is he knows you're not supposed to use emulation. And even if he thought he had some foolproof way of doing it, yeah, you can't do it. And now they've taken away his Pac-Man stuff. They've taken away all his other records. Just because of this one thing, which he's most famous for, because again, that movie and other stuff. But his Pac-Man records, they were like undisputed,
and probably that's what I had to go back. Because he was the first Pac-Man complete game, right?
Right.
I had to go back and look at how I phrased that in chronology of tech history, which you illustrated. Yeah. Because I was, or the year in tech history actually was the one you illustrated, but I had to go back and look at how I phrased it because he is no longer actually a record holder.
Right.
But I think he still, you legitimately can say he was the first one to do X, even though he's been banned from Twin Galaxies.
Yeah. So. The footnote is now, you know, a little extra text about how that was then taken away from him in 2018. Yeah. And now he's
because his Pac-Man thing has not been shown to be emulation or anything like that. It's just that it's like, when you're in the Olympics and they test you for drugs, they kick you out of everything. They don't go, well, let's find out which sports he was actually on the drugs in. They're like, nah, he used drugs. That's it. You get all your records taken away.
In fact, I would actually argue that Twin Galaxies might be a little more hardcore than the current Olympic committee. Like in terms of
TVZ God's doing a little crossover commentary in the chat. He's like, banned from his dream job. His dream games.
Well, maybe his dream job was really the hot sauce he makes.
He is the Comey of video games.
Yeah, he is. Not testifying to anybody, though. And doesn't have a book coming out. Although maybe this is a whole new world for him. Maybe he spends the next 10 years of his career doing a book tour and claiming that he has all these records and building up a little, you know, culty audience that thinks Billy Mitchell's the man. I don't know. Who knows?
I don't know. Is there something about Billy Mitchell that makes you think of someone else? I've noticed people in the chat room saying, I hear Billy Mitchell and I think of the EastEnders character. I hear Billy Mitchell and I think of the guy who used to sell stuff, you know, cleaning fluid.
Billy Mays here, that guy.
Billy Mays.
I think I was so down with the whole Billy Mitchell story that I just think of Billy Mitchell and the dumb American tie and the long hair and the beard and the mustache and the kind of flattened down hair, like his whole looking thing. He's for every Billy Mitchell. So any other kind of Billy Mitchell that comes along, it's I always go back to this guy. And I'm sad about this.
But it turns out the connection between Billy Mays and Billy Mitchell is that Billy Mitchell was a sham. Wow.
Oh, man. Can we... I don't know what you do for a moment like this, but I feel like we need to mark something down or write something down.
Move on?
Maybe
quickly?
That's it. Maybe that's
it. Is that what you do?
Yeah, that's fine. We could do that.
Hollywood Reporter says the producers of A Quiet Place, including John Krasinski, will create a sci-fi movie called Life on Mars. Nothing to do with the TV show. It's based on the short story We Have Always Lived on Mars by Cecil Castellucci. Castellucci used to write for Ionine, as a matter of fact. Mm. Short story is about a woman in a Martian colony long abandoned by Earth who finds out one day she can breathe the air on Mars.
What is this, one of those things where you're just told the whole time you can't and then you walk out one day and go, oh, I can breathe this?
I have not read the short story, so I couldn't venture to say, but the summary makes it sound like she might be the only one, and everybody else is like, what? You can breathe. Nobody can breathe out there. What are you talking about?
Oh, that sounds really good. So that movie, number one in the box office, at least till Avengers comes out this weekend, The Quiet Place, and that's great because I think seeing dude from The Office go big with a directing career, and for that matter, an acting career, he's doing all kinds of cool stuff lately, I think is awesome. I think it's so great. And obviously as an eye for this kind of genre filmmaking, at least from what everyone says about The Quiet Place, including you, who I talked to a few days ago about your opinion.
Yep.
Seems like a perfect thing. Get him on to the next thing. Let's go. Let's turn it into a big, fat, awesome, rad career for John Krasinski.
I mean, because he needs something saddled with that Emily Blunt as a wife.
I know, really?
Poor guy.
Yeah, sad day. And apparently they're really happy.
You and I know what it's like to live in the shadow of great women.
Right. And here's the hard part. They're really happy. They appear to be a wonderful
couple.
That's
even worse.
But I
all kidding aside, and I am kidding, Krasinski and Emily Blunt seem like an amazing couple. And of course, they're both super talented. But he tells the story. I don't know if you've seen this multiple times. I've seen it on different talk shows. So he definitely dines out on the story about coming to the UK. And they ask him his profession. He says, actor. They say, would I seen you in anything? He's like, The Office, the US version. Yeah. And then, you know, the British guard kind of giving him some guff, like, well, I like the UK one. Yeah. And then he's like, and your wife is an actor. Who are you visiting? He says, my wife, she's an actor too. Oh, would I know her? Like, oh yeah, she's Emily Blunt. And the guy just stops. The immigration is like, you?
You're knighted.
And then just stamps his passport and hands it to him, disgusted.
Gives him a permanent stamp. Never has to have it checked again. Yeah, like, I don't know.
No, it was more like, really? You? That's the way he tells it.
Because he's such an every guy, you know? And
oh, yeah. No, exactly. I mean, that's why he was perfect in that part as Jim in The Office, right?
Yeah, and I also, I don't know. I'm making this up out of whole cloth here, but at least I think I'm rooting for him for this stage of his career, partly because he was so rootable as a character in The Office. You wanted so bad for him and Pam to find happiness and to get
where
they wanted to go. And so I've
the
never stopped.
The greatest love story ever told.
Yeah, I've never stopped. For all I know, in real life, he's a total butthole. Probably not, but I'm just saying.
Probably not. You never know. Not.
But I've still got the Jim Halpert thing in my head, and I'll continue to support him thusly in his much more broad career. But a sci-fi movie, that sounds great. I'm all in. And also,
I mean, if this production crew had the sensibility to make A Quiet Place what it is, and what happened was they were writing it, and Krasinski came in and said, hey, what if we do this with it?
Yeah.
And worked with the writers, then potentially they can do the same thing with another cool story. And A Quiet Place was innovative. It was different. It took risks and it capitalized on them, and it was worth the risk. So I'm curious to see them do sci-fi. That's
I am.
Cool.
Real quick chat room break. I just wanted to mention somebody in the chat room asked, is Tom's background real? Very cool items, if so. I would just like to reiterate that it is absolutely 100% real. That is not a backdrop that is created by green screen or any sort of tomfoolery. No pun intended. And it should be pointed out occasionally. What do you got there? What book is this?
This is The Making of England.
Oh, wow.
But the Battle of Dara marked more than a change in the relation of the conquered to the conquerors. It marks a change in the relations of the conquerors themselves. From this moment, the strife of Englishmen and Britain, though far from having reached its close, sinks into comparative unimportance. And what plays the first part in English politics for the next 200 years is the strife of Englishmen with Englishmen.
See? Look at that. Now watch him put it back in the shelf. He'll actually insert it. There you go. Proof once again. That's not a false wall, folks. Full of rad stuff. All kinds of cool things. Oh, careful there. Whatever that is might fall. yes, Tom Merritt. No fooling around. Doesn't make fake backgrounds. Just wanted to point that out.
Or he makes very realistic ones.
Very nice. Where are we now? Oh, yeah.
Yes. Business Insider reports an independent auditor for MoviePass's owner Helios and Matheson Analytics said it had substantial doubt about the company's ability to remain in business.
No.
Helios and Matheson reported a loss of $150.8 million last year, and MoviePass is kind of their main thing. CEO Ted Farnsworth emphasized that $110 million of that $150 million loss was non-cash.
Ooh. What does that mean?
So, like, there's a few things going on here. One is startups lose money. Mm-hmm. It's common for people to click on a clickbait headline about companies losing money and get to feel superior, like, oh, that Facebook, it just loses money. Or let's rewind a little farther. That Yahoo, it just lose. That Google, it just lose. They all lose money.
Yep.
That's the point. That's the investor wheel. You take investor money, you lose money for years because you believe that your product will eventually hit sustainability and make you way more money back. That's absolutely true for Facebook and Google. it's arguable about Twitter, but they're doing better than they used to be. And not every company that loses money ends up succeeding. So I'm not saying it's guaranteed for MoviePass, but, you know, try not to have the knee-jerk reaction of like, well, I could have told you that. And them saying $110 million of that is non-cash means, hold on, a lot of that's just stock price and debt changes and currency stuff. It's not the fact that we're actually burning cash, although MoviePass totally is burning cash. Oh. Like, that's no secret.
Yeah, I haven't made the jump yet. You do it, though, right? You have them.
I don't. No, I have a wife that works for Fandango, so I just let her benefits carry me to the movie.
Did you go to the thing yesterday, the Avengers
deal?
Okay.
No, right. My wife went to the Avengers premiere.
Yeah.
She got to see the movie with Robert Downey Jr. Mm. She got to walk. Well, I say she walked the red carpet. I don't think she actually walked the red carpet, but she got to go in the same entrance as everybody else. And she came back on top of the world. She walks in the door, looks at me and says, keep your expectations high. It's worth it.
Really?
And you know how dangerous it is to say something like that.
Is.
She's like, yeah, it won't matter.
Okay. That makes me happy. I trust her opinion anyway on such things. And
then she went out of town so she wouldn't spoil it.
Currently enjoying a 90%+ approval rating since the thing lifted today. Not to hijack this story, but I think it's important to at least note that seems like Infinity War is going to do okay. It's going to be all right, everybody. Everybody just calm down.
It is universally being lauded. The people who are picking it apart are picking it apart. And it seems like anybody who's got negative things to say yet is saying them about in kind of in the relationship to, well, in the comics, you know, and that's been a problem. Civil War, people were having that kind of problem. Even the original Avengers, people were having those problems here and there. So, you know, your mileage may vary, but it sounds like most people are like, yeah, no, they pulled it off.
Well, a weekend like this, you'd think that that maybe would be good news for something like these guys over here at MoviePass. But I have said since the very beginning, and not like I'm any kind of genius or anything, but it doesn't feel sustainable to me. I understand it's supposed to be the sort of long tail pays for it. All the people who don't go and use it all the time will still spend their money each month because it's too hard to cancel, or it's just there and it's there when they need it. And then MoviePass makes money down the road. But I've never been totally down with that. It feels dangerous.
That's not the only way. In fact, that's the least way that they make money. Mm. The way they make money is analytics and advertising. So
like
they have
everyone
a deal now with Landmark Theaters.
Yeah.
This is what they want, where Landmark Theaters gets to tell them like, hey, we need people to see X, Y, and Z. We'll give you a little discount if you put us at the top. Right.
Yeah.
So when people are looking, they see the Landmark Theater first.
Mm.
They really want to strike deals. And I don't think they have too many, if any, of these where, as you're looking at your app, it says, hey, after the movie, have dinner here and get 10% off, right? Mm. Do coupons and advertising where restaurants and retail shops will pay them to advertise in the app. And the analytics thing is they want to share with the studios to say like, okay, we've got these people who generally don't feel like they're paying. And these are the movies they're going to. This is the traffic patterns. This is what we're seeing. This is the marketing that you might, you know, take these numbers, take this data, and we'll sell you the ability to learn from it. Mm. Those are the ways they're really going to make money.
You feel like the theaters are, studios and theaters have respond. Well, we don't know, but I mean, are they
studios,
responding?
From by all accounts, the studios are like, yeah, sure. This is great. You're paying your, cause the way MoviePass works, if people don't understand, is they pay the ticket for you.
Yeah.
So you only pay $10 a month, but if you see 10 movies, they pay full price ticket for every one of those 10 movies. So the studios are like, that's great. We're going to get our receipts. No big deal. And we'd love to work with you on the analytics and learn more. That's awesome. The theaters don't like it except for Landmark.
Yeah.
Most of the theaters are like, no, we want to own that entire relationship. We don't want a middleman like MoviePass in there. Yeah.
They'd probably rather just do their own freaking thing.
Yeah. And they've all got versions of this now. I know Cinemark has one where it's like $8.95 a month gets you one movie. And every movie after that is also $8.95. So it's like, okay, so it's not unlimited, but it's cheaper. But I have to see at least one movie a month. That MoviePass is just so simple. It's a way better marketing premise. Pay me this much, get as many movies as you want.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it goes. I'm going to I don't know. I don't know why I'm not doing it. I should just do it. I'm going to see Avengers this weekend in Vegas at some point. Probably on my, just Kim and I think, or maybe with the Ebbets or something. We're going to figure out a time to go see it because they moved the date up and I'm like, well, we got to see it. So it would be cool if I was just going with a movie pass, but I haven't done it yet. So I'll pay full price like every other schlub who doesn't quite trust this yet.
Eileen wants to see it again. So she's going to go with me and Roger and we're going to see it on Thursday.
Oh, nice. That's very good. Roger's good company.
He is. CBC radio show Now or Never posted a page from listener Nora Ashmore's grandmother's diary featuring an entry written in Pittman shorthand. Kids, ask your parents, but it's basically a way of just making little scratches so that you could take notes quickly, but you're not writing full words. Ashmore could not read Pittman shorthand. So the idea was let's crowdsource this, find out, you know, who out there still reads Pittman shorthand. Multiple people have helped translate it, showing that the entry is about being on board a train, what the grandmother did before boarding, including someone named Reggie buying her a bag of sweets and asking for a photo of her.
Oh, that's adorable.
I know. It's a sweet little story.
Yeah, I like it. I'm looking at a page about Pittman shorthand just because I want to be smart. I've never heard of this before. It sounds very English. Obviously, it is, right?
Like, no, I think it's, I don't know if it's English, but it's not limited to England. And we had shorthand here in the U.S. too.
Yeah. I mean, I remember
there are multiple different versions of shorthand.
Though. It's kind of like the sign language. Oh, here it is. Pittman shorthand is a system of shorthand for the English language developed by Englishman Sir Isaac Pittman.
Ah,
that guy, dude. Living large with his name.
In the making of England.
Wait. See if he's in there. Brian, Tom, for those listening at home, not on video, Tom is now referencing that book again on his shelf, which is real. He's looking at an actual book. This is what we used to do. We used to print on pages.
Nope.
Oh, okay. Never mind. It's all good. No Pittman shorthand in there.
Not in there, no. Didn't make England, apparently.
That's kind of awesome, though. Forget about that. The grandma thing's great. And, there you have it.
No, I love this. This is the kind of story that used to dominate back in the early 2000s, right? Look at the power of the internet, the crowd, the wisdom of the crowds and everything. You don't hear about these stories. Everything we hear about is fake news and bots and everything. Mm-hmm. It's nice to know that this can still happen.
I predict that we are going to see a return to more of this. I mean, we'll never completely be free of clickbait and chum and all the terrible ads and all that stuff. But,
sure.
But I think that I think a kinder, gentler approach to the internet is forthcoming where it'll actually be profitable to do that. Not just because you and I desire it or somebody else is sick of what's going on today or whatever happened to the good old days of the internet being full of great information that could enlighten you, but it will become for advertisers and other monetization methods on the internet more profitable to provide this kind of content. I don't know when, I don't know how soon. I just feel like it's going to swing back like a lot of things do. We're going to trend the other way, and that'll be great if we do. And if we don't, it's okay. We'll still seek it out, but I'd love it.
Would like to point out that no one has actually studied, or if they have, I have not seen a publication of their study, whether there really is an effect.
Mm.
Of any of this. There is plenty of evidence that people are angered by it. So it certainly has that effect.
Right.
Plenty of evidence that things were done. There's no doubt about that. But did it really do much? Did it change things?
It's a good question.
I mean, there's some wishful thinking going on, right?
Yep.
One side is like, it must have. Otherwise, it couldn't have ended up like that. And the other side is saying, you just don't want to live with the fact that it didn't go your way. And I'm not picking either of those sides, but I'm saying, hey, maybe we could actually look at what happened and find out which side is right.
Agree.
Because I don't think things have changed that much.
I don't either.
It struck me, as you were saying, I think it'll trend back and people will be able to do this more often. It's what we do every day. We have a great audience.
That's true. Yeah.
We have great, great emailers on all of our shows.
Yeah.
We do this sort of thing all the time. We never stopped. I don't think most people have. I think there are more bots than there used to be. There are more people on the internet than there used to be. So there are just generally more people doing malicious stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that it's more as a percentage. And I'm not sure I'm not saying I'm sure one way or the other what the effect is.
Yeah. I mean, it's like we were talking about this on something today. What was I on? I don't remember. Drugs. Oh, we were on Unfriend Me. We were talking about helicopter parenting last week and doing some follow-up. And somehow we got talking about how statistically all the scary things that parents are scared of.
They're scared.
Are lower than they've ever been in some cases, ever been. And yet, if you ask any parent with little kids if they're any less afraid than they've ever been, the answer is no. Of course they're more afraid because they hear about it more and it's constantly in their face. And if a big, terrible thing happens, they're immediately notified a million different ways. And the truth is, the thing that they're being notified about is a weird, now rare occurrence compared to what it used to be. And it's so hard for our brains to get around that. So I think you're right, is what I'm saying. I think that we should continue to do what we're doing to make this, to make the internet a better place. And then what I'm hoping is the big mainstreamy stuff will maybe make a shift as well. Not saying it's going to, but the things that are just barking at me every day can back off a little, maybe it'll just become less profitable for them to be that way. And maybe that's never possible because humans like some good.
Yeah. We like conflict, right? We are evolved to look at danger.
Yeah.
Not safety. No. We ignore safety because it's safe.
Yeah.
You know, don't need to worry about that. Where's danger? We need to see danger.
Danger. It sounds like a person. We need danger. Quick, get danger. In
there. Will Robinson.
I haven't seen that yet. I hear it's good.
Oh, it's pretty good.
Well, speaking of Netflix, something else is happening there. What's going
on? Yeah, Netflix announced that. How do you say Carrie? How do you say Wesley?
I have always said Princess Bride? I've always said Carrie Elwes, but I don't know if that's right.
Carrie Elwes and Jake Busey. Will have guest roles in the next season of Stranger Things. Carrie's going to play Mayor Klein, so the mayor of Hawkins, who's a bit of a, you know, pompous politician type. Big surprise there. Yep. And Jake Busey plays Bruce, a journalist for the Hawkins Post.
Who's
a loose wheel.
All right. I'm fine with Jake Busey's dad's is a legend. And every time Jake does something, I'm like, oh, he looks like his dad a little bit. And I like Gary
Busey.
I bet
he hates that.
He probably does.
He's like, I am my own Busey.
First time I ever saw him was in,
From Dusk Till Dawn?
Nope. Older than that. 1997 or 8. Starship Troopers. That's what I'm thinking of. He was in Starship Troopers back in the day. And I remember.
His character here is described by Metro as having questionable morals and a sick sense of humor.
That sounds like Jake Busey's personal bio because that's what he's known for. But no, this is great. I'm actually excited about this, except for I'm starting to worry about the kids a little bit. And I don't know anything else about season 3. I haven't paid any attention to previews or
story points. Just like the parents in our last conversation, you're worried about the kids?
Kind of, except what I'm worried about is that they're all going to look super weird and they're all, you know,
'cause they're older.
Puberty's done and we're all just going to be strange. And that's fine. That is a stranger thing.
You just do 2 years later.
I guess so. I mean, maybe that's what okay. You just said what I want them to do. I want them to go ahead and take the ages and move forward.
Yeah.
Not try to pretend that they're still just 2 weeks after the last one and they're playing D&D again and nobody's changed. Because when shows try to do that, oh, man, not a fan. And then the only way some shows, the way they get around it is they will cast a 20-year-old as a 15-year-old. And then if they get 6 years out of that show, by the time they're out of that show, they're pushing 30.
Yeah.
And it's just weird either way. So
it's called the Urkel effect.
Yes. So if they can just follow the Urkel effect for me is to not watch TV on Friday nights. But anyway, whatever. No, I don't want to throw shade on TGIF. It was fine for a lot of people. Whatever. It's just not my thing in the 90s. But I don't know what my point was. My point is, hey, bring it on. Let's see what you guys can do with 3 seasons of this thing, because you've already broken all my expectations. Perhaps you can do it again. And Jake Busey can help. These are great stories. And they're always.
He'll always come for you, except this time as mayor, which probably means he'll arrest you.
He also is in the first Saw movie, he had to cut his foot off to save himself. So that was rough.
Can we have him and Robin Wright make like a horror film together or something? Just put them together in something.
That'd be great.
For my personal greedy satisfaction.
She's doing
great.
Doesn't
have to be a Princess Bride remake. No. Doesn't have to have anything to do with that. I'm just fascinated with these two characters as they have grown up, because they are so much different than they were in The Princess Bride and so talented.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to see them do something together now to see what that's like compared to what it was like back then.
Somebody get Jim Halpert on the phone. He perhaps has a script.
Maybe they can be in Life on Mars.
Never know. These stories and more can be found on our Reddit page. And thankfully, many of our Redditors are regular contributors to the show. Tom, who do we owe some credit to this week?
Oh, Strike It Rich One, Captain Kipper, Action Nate, Jeff Rose, and I Am Sci-Fi. All submitted stories at currentgeek.reddit.com. And since we're doing these news shows every 2 weeks, we can go back a little farther and we'll lose your votes. So it's even more important than ever to go into currentgeek.reddit.com and vote on the stuff submitted. If not, join these fine folks and submit your own.
I've learned over the last couple months that a lot of the stories we cover, evergreen's not the word, but they have a way better shelf life than you think when it comes to nerdy pop culture stuff. I've found that, like, any other kind of headline, a financial headline or some kind of even tech in some cases.
Earnings reports.
Yeah, it's quick. The reason you have a daily tech show is you got to tackle that stuff and push it past and get to the next thing. In this case, these last a while. Like, knowing this is happening at Netflix as one tiny example, that's a big deal and it has a way longer shelf life. So, yes, if you're active in there or you're thinking about being active in there, hop in there, because even more than ever, your stories are going to matter to this show, and we really appreciate you guys doing that. All right, real quick, before we jump into forecast, I wanted to give us both a chance to talk about projects we're working on real quick. So this Kickstarter I started for the poker playing cards thing, I'm not trying to be falsely modest here, but I didn't expect it to. I thought it'd be okay, but I didn't expect it to kind of pop the way it did. And it's doing really well. It's still got like 25 days left, and we pushed past 32K today, which means a whole bunch of new work for me to do because we've broken like every stretch goal we thought we had. A couple of which, I mean, I was secretly going, oh, if we hit these, it's going to be the next 6 months of my life. And now we've hit them, and now it is. So that's fine, and it's great, and I'm super thrilled about it, and you guys are all rad for doing it. We just put a video update up there. If any of this sounds foreign to you and you're like, wait a minute, what? I collect playing cards. What are you talking about? Head on over to frogpants.com/cards, and therein you will find a link to the Kickstarter. It's the very first thing you can do is click that and bam, you're in. And you can find out what's going on over there. And it's as simple as, hey, I just want a cool deck of cards. Great, get in on that low level and grab one. We're not limiting that, so we'll make as many as we can move in that direction. But so many cool unlocks have come since. My daughter's doing her own themed deck. We're doing a zombie themed deck. There's ways to swap different decks out, get all the decks you want, or just one and pick the one you want. Like, lots of options are available.
Lots
over
of
there.
Fun times to talk to New Zealanders.
That's right. We're even maybe
about
doing
all your decks.
We're talking about like a go fish deck, just completely fish based.
Nice. I love that.
Yeah, all fish based, which will be really cool. So if you're into it and you want to see this artwork, you want to see custom backs, you want to see all this stuff, head on over to frogpants.com/cards. Now, in the vein of creativity and us making stuff, Tom, we should talk about your book. Getting close here.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, the main thing I want to talk about is Trigor, T-R-I-G-O-R, inkshares.com. It is the sequel to Pilot X. And it is a time travel story about the danger to the universe and a search for coffee and pie. If this sounds interesting, there are a couple sample chapters you can try. They don't give away the main plot. And you should pre-order. We need just about 300 or so more pre-orders to get this thing published. If we get 750 pre-orders, it gets published, it gets put in bookstores, and more people can get it. And it will be made into an audiobook. So if you've been thinking, hey, right, I need to do that, go to inkshares.com right now. Because the other thing you get if you pre-order this book is I will tip you off early when Gallium comes out. This is a cover done by Joel Duggan, and it will be coming out this summer. This book is in the Lot Beta universe, and it will be done self-published by me. So if you want the early bird on when Gallium comes out, it's the story of a salvager who gets fired from her dream job. So if you want to know what's going on with this book, you got to back Trigor and you'll find out fast. Or you can back my Patreon, patreon.com/acedetect. Either one of those works.
All right, go do it. It's awesome. And I'm super stoked to get my hands on the new books. And I know you guys are stoked about these cards. It is really fun to be a creator right now. And so glad we have you guys here to help support us in that regard. Okay. Let's do this right here.
The future promises even more startling things to come.
It's time for forecast. It used to be a whole show. It was an entire podcast, and we did it week to week and everything. I had these guests on. They talk about their predictions and stuff. And when it went away, we were like, no. But now we're like, yay, because it came back as a segment. It's right here on the show. And
I like to think of it as a way of life, Scott. It never went away.
It's the forecast way of
life. We've looked at it in different angles. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen the world from both sides now.
Yeah. And you might say. How's the rest of that song go? I can't think of it. But anyway.
From up and down and still somehow.
Well done. I couldn't think of the words, but I really like that song. Anyway, let's talk about cheese wars. We've talked about water wars, beef wars. Why not? Cheese wars. What's going on in your head?
I heard a story on the Economist podcast today that Ireland cheesemakers are considering stopping making cheddar because of Brexit.
Whoa. All right.
This is a true story. This is not the forecast part.
I need to know more.
The problem is that when Brexit happens, Irish cheesemakers will no longer have the common market access to Britain because Britain will no longer be in the EU and Ireland will. And so Ireland cheesemakers are worried they won't get a good, fair cheese trade deal with England.
Yeah.
And the only two markets that really eat a lot of cheese are England and the US. And most of the cheddar, most of the cheddar eaten in the US is made in the US. Mm-hmm. So if they lose the English market, they don't have any cheddar in more ways than one.
Okay.
So they are actually considering changing to making Euro-friendly cheeses like mozzarellas.
Okay. What else they like over there? They like a Gouda? They like a good
Sure,
Gouda?
Yeah.
Yeah. They like Stilton?
A Jarlsberg, perhaps.
Yeah. Jarlsberg, Stilton. Yeah.
Stilton's an English cheese.
Okay. Well, they like the stinky cheeses. I know that across the board over there.
Well, that crosses the channel. But here's the thing. It got me to thinking, well, wait a minute. If we have this trend towards regionalism, if tariff wars are the new cool thing, there's going to be more things like this. Mm. That get reduced from worldwide access, where you're like, well, as long as I have access to lots of markets, I can make this regional product because it's worthwhile. But if the walls go up, small things, particularly foodstuffs, which often have a regional taste, might no longer be worth making on a mass scale. And we might see cheese wars.
You think we... You could argue the prequels were cheese wars. Anyway,
So for instance, with cheddar, we might see in the U.S. they start to realize, well, wait a minute, we can just call things cheddar whether they're cheddar or not. People love the fake cheese here. And in Ireland, they stop making cheddar, and in England, they realize, well, the English market isn't big enough to support cheddar. We can't export it anywhere anymore because we Brexited, and so boom, goodbye, no more cheddar.
Okay. How about this? What if we're forced into, I feel like it always comes down to this, but what if we're forced into everyone's just got to make their own cheese? Because you can do it, you know?
Yeah, but will you? I mean,
no.
That's true of everything.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to a grocery store. You can make it all yourself.
Yeah.
You can buy land, buy the animals, and raise crops, and build a mill. Like, that whole point of the modern world economy was, we don't have to. We all benefit. When we distribute these things and we get economies of scale, because those guys can build a really big mill and do all the grinding and we don't have to do it. And the flour is actually cheaper because they did it all at once. And we didn't have to spend all the time over and over and over again, millions of times, because every person was baking their own flour. That's kind of the point of all this. Yeah. You can definitely, you can do everything yourself, but it's not efficient to do that.
I mean, is cheese still considered luxury food? Because it used to be. Right. Way back.
Right. Right. It used to be. That's why it's still on the dessert menu in a lot of places because cheese used to be like a delicacy. Yeah. Maybe that's it. Maybe the cheese wars don't end up with cheese shortages, but cheese prices go through the roof and it starts to be the plaything of the rich. Like, oh, you eat cheese? Well, howdy do.
Yeah. Howdy do. I remember playing. What was that game? Caesar 3. Maybe it was Pharaoh or maybe it was both. But in order for the homes and the people in them to improve and for you to progress in the game, it was like a top-down kind of civilization sort of game. You had to, more like SimCity, but for ancient civilizations. I love those games. Anyway,
yeah.
One of the things was they would say this dwelling needs more cheese in order to develop past its current level. And I just remember thinking, yeah, that's what it was like. Like back in the day, it was like millet and freaking rice. And if you were lucky, a little bit of hemp or something to get everybody
nobody
by.
Had meat. That was a huge luxury.
No. So then to get meat or in this case, something fancy like a piece of cheese was a big step up in the world. I don't know. Maybe we have to be brought low and reminded that cheese doesn't grow on trees. And we have to make our own cheese for a little while. I don't know.
Hey, you know what? You build more charcuteries with bridges than with walls.
That's right. Oh, that sounds good. I'd love a big charcuterie tree. Oh, it sounds so good. I'm trying to cut down on cheese. You're not helping me at all here with this cheese talk.
You know, I cut back on cheese and then I realized I cut too far back. You have to have a little bit of cheese.
You got to have a little bit of cheese. I did cut sugar way out. This has all been in the last like 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, you don't, you'll get the sugar you need. You don't need to add it.
So I've gotten rid of especially processed sugars. They're out of there. And now I don't, and I've cut way back on bread and grains and things. And this is what I did when I lost all my weight before. So this is my goal. I'm just going to do that. I know how to do it. I did it before. And I'll be as skinny as Tom before you know it. Very excited. Very excited.
I wish I were skinnier. I know that that's ridiculous, but you know.
Dude, if you're any skinnier, you're going to blend into your background.
No, you know, I got a little padding.
You got a little something there?
Yeah, see it.
Something for the landing. I got it.
Yeah.
Excellent. If you have your own thoughts on cheese and how we can war with them, with the cheeses.
Your thoughts on the world economy and cheese's place in it.
Sure. Then send us your emails. We'd love to hear from you. That's currentgeek@gmail.com. Speaking of which, we got one here from John JK, which sounds like John just kidding, but I won't assume.
Or of Jingleheimer Schmidt.
It could be that. He says this, "Dear Current Geek, I am sure Scott is super sad about the Mad Max news. Do you think we'll ever get these sequels?"
What Mad Max news, Scott?
I looked it up, and I was somewhat familiar that there was a little bit of a dispute going on.
Okay, wait,
apparently
did John J.K. not send a link?
He didn't send a link. He just assumed
okay,
I'd know.
Okay, you can't just do that.
Right, right. And he's right, though. He's right that I would immediately jump on it because he's counting on me and my love of Mad Max that I would be informed already. And I am somewhat informed on what's going on with this.
All right, what's going on?
However, it's looking real slim. It's looking slimmer than ever, and that's probably why he's emailed, because there's been some updates to this stuff. So basically, there is a courtroom feud going on right now.
Oh, this has been going on for a while.
It has.
It's the same thing.
Apparently, it's gotten worse is all we know, but it's kind of the same thing. This isn't unheard of in Hollywood. People fighting over rights, people fighting over profits.
We actually talked about it on Current Geek when the story first broke about the royalty dispute, right?
I think you're right.
We did.
I think you're right. George Miller not getting his comeuppance in his terms for what work he did on the thing, says that it was a breach of contract, blah, blah, blah. They all claim that's the opposite. So the latest update is basically that there's no movement, which is not much of an update. But yeah, it's kind of a bummer.
It's about bonuses, right? It's not about royalties per se. He got royalties. He's saying, I was told I would get bonuses if I finished filming in this amount of time with this amount of budget.
Yep.
And Warner is saying, well, you went over budget, so you don't get those bonuses.
Yep. They said,
and he's saying, no, I didn't. They went over budget, not me.
It says here it was a high-handed, insulting, and reprehensible manner by failing to deliver a bonus to Miller for bringing them. This is his lawyer, for bringing the movie in under its agreed $157 million budget. And they say that breached the co-financing agreement. Warner countered, saying that the production costs ended up north of $185 million due to production delays, and put the film's release back by 14 months.
And he says that the delays were Warner's delays, not his, that he hit his deadlines, and the only costs that brought the budget up were theirs, not his.
Yeah, exactly. So, and there's a whole bunch of infighting about the studio wanted it PG-13. He really pushed for R, and that's always an argument you love hearing about. Bottom line is, they should have been in production, at least pre-production already on a second film, by now, and they're not because of this. This is holding it up. I am as upset as I can be about such things, because I think Fury Road was a singular experience for our time and loved it so much and watch it constantly, and I have every version of it, and I love it, I love it, I love it. So for them to do more work and for George Miller to crank out more stuff while he's still can, while the guy's still on this planet, it's a crime if we don't get more. So Yes.
Well, TVZ Gun says Warner Brothers put in the reshoot budgets in the total, and Miller said the reshoots weren't part of the original budget, and so they shouldn't be counted. That makes sense, too.
And part of it, apparently, is some of the problems with delays and other things were because Tom Hardy was super grumpy and hard to work with. And he's since apologized for that. I don't think he has any financial responsibility for any of this, but a lot of this might be due to him being kind of a Nancy. And I don't know what I mean by Nancy. I don't know what that means. Like someone who's.
We apologize, Nancy.
Sorry,
Scott
Nancy.
Meant no disrespect.
All the Nancys of the world, I apologize. But being kind of like just hard to deal with, you know, like get out of your trailer and shoot this scene kind of problems. And I really like him, but, you know, maybe it was a problem. And he said on stage at, like, some con, he says, like, I was a jerk and I feel bad because this movie's
yeah,
amazing.
But that's not what this is about. There's always reshoots, right? Whether it's because sure. Tom Hardy felt like he was being a jerk or not. There's right. always reshoots needed.
Right.
And either you say the budget including all reshoots or the budget not including reshoots. And that's what it seems like the dispute
is. And the
about.
Movie made a bunch of money. It was a big, successful film.
Oh, that just makes it worse, right? When there's a big pile of money to fight over,
yeah,
you fight more.
There aren't losses here. It's all gain across the board, but now everyone's digging in for their share of that gain. The thing was nominated for Best Freaking Picture, Best Director, like, and won a bunch of other awards. It had the most nominations for that year for 2015, 2016's awards show. Like, it's a big deal. Putting it all on the brakes here sucks, and I hate
Wait,
it.
Wait, which movie are we talking about? I'm sorry.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Have you mentioned it before?
The best movie talking. In the last decade. Yes. We have talked about it many times.
yeah. So the question from John is, do you think we'll ever get these sequels?
The answer is I don't. I wish I knew. I'm super bummed out about this particular goings on. What worries me is if they push George Miller out, either through time of just waiting him out, or I'm not saying George Miller's about to die or anything, but he's in the 70s.
No, but I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. And if they're doing that, or if they want to push him out contract wise so that they can just move forward to somebody else, I don't like any of that. I think his vision is the thing, and I think it's important to have him there. Now, if you still did it and you made movies and he wasn't involved, would I see them? Yes, but that concerns me. I'm not willing to hang it all up for that, but it would bother me. But as far as like just predictions, these will probably get made. There's a lot of money to be made on this series.
I'm worried about what you're worried about, which is we get Mad Max sequels from Warner Brothers and New Line, but they don't involve George Miller and they suck.
Yeah, it's like Zack Snyder's Mad Max or some bullcrap.
I don't want to throw Zack under the bus, but yeah, sure.
He's under so many buses now.
Poor guy. He's just covered in buses.
I think he lives under a bus.
He's got like a bus coat.
Yeah. He's Indiana. Buses he's like Indiana Jones in the Ridge of the Lost Ark. He's under the bus.
Temple of Buses.
And eat the monkey brains. Anyway, we'll see. John, thanks for your email. And
that's
it's a great question.
That's not a bus. This is a bus.
This is a dispute. Anyway, John JK wrote in at currentgeek@gmail.com, and you out there can do the same. All right, next week, the Current Geek Film Fest returns. We are discussing Rear Window.
Well, I can't get out of the seat, Scott. How am I supposed to see?
Oh, home cooking soup. We're back in the warm embrace of director and filmmaker. Name who just slipped my head. What's wrong? Alfred Hitchcock. There you go. We did this already with Psycho. We're going to do it again with Rear Window.
Yeah, it's our first repeat director.
That's right. Probably one of many. I'm guessing we have multiple. Well, I know we do because we got.
Oh, sure. Yeah. We'll do Godfather again. So yeah, there's one.
Godfather 2 and whatnot.
Godfather 2, I mean.
Working our way down the list, but if you're paying attention and working ahead and you want to watch this ahead of our discussion, you can do that. That's Rear Window next Tuesday right here live on Current Geek at frogpants.tv. And it's also on Stars, I guess. So you can get it, you can rent it places, but you can also watch it on Stars. Well, there's that. All you Stars subscribers. That's still a thing you have to do, though, to get Stars, right? You have to have some special subscription to get Stars.
Yeah, you have to give Stars money, and then you get Stars. Okay. There's no, it's like HBO. You don't have to have a cable subscription.
Because they used to have a deal with Netflix, and they don't have that anymore. And it really, really bums me out to remember those heady days of accessible Stars.
Well,
content.
Now you can buy it from Stars and you get all the Stars movies and shows, Outlander,
yeah,
all that stuff.
That's a good show. I like Outlander. Yep. It's all right. Anyway, there you go. Rear Window Dark next gods. Week. Don't forget, if you want to support this show, it's super, super, super simple. You go to patreon.com/currentgeek, and therein you can provide sustenance to Tom and I. We really appreciate it. It matters muchly. And thank you to everyone who has.
Whenever you pledge on Current Geek, imagine Scott and I eating a bowl of oatmeal and saying thank you.
That's very meager. Image you're painting.
Well, unless you pledge a larger amount, then you can imagine more expensive food.
Okay, I'm
just saying at the entry level.
Yeah, we'll have cheese for the.
Yeah, right. If you're doing $10 an episode, we're eating all kinds of cheese.
Yeah, then I can. This dwelling requires cheese in order to evolve. Anyway, so do that. Patreon.com/currentgeek. We really appreciate everyone and all who already has, and if you do, huge thanks from us. And what else? Again, it's going to do it. It's currentgeek.com. That's our website. Tom Merritt on Twitter is at Ace Detect. You can find me at Scott Johnson, and you can find the show at Current Geek. Of course, currentgeek.com has links to everything we talked about, so you guys can check that out as well. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Tom, and for cheese lovers everywhere. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.